I want to welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren this morning. We want to welcome our church family, our friends. We are glad for those that are here in the sanctuary with us. We're asked you to wear masks as usual. For those in the Sunday school room, we'd say welcome, and those that are out in the car. God is good, and it's good to be with you. It's a beautiful, cool, but beautiful fall October day. Again, we just say welcome. We're glad you're here this morning. This week I've discovered four words that probably define grace better than any other phrase. And those four words: God is for us. God is not just with us. God is not just by us. And if you've invited Christ into your heart, He's not just in us, but the Bible says He's for us. And God has so many reasons to be against us because of the way we live, because of our sin. But because of Jesus, God is for us. And then as I said, we've been looking for the past 3 weeks at the grace of God. We are in this series, All Have Sinned, But There's Grace. We've looked at saving grace, sustaining grace, healing grace, and today I want us to look at offering grace. The Bible says that God didn't just intend for us to receive it, to receive grace. He wants us to pass it on. If you've been blessed by God, He wants you to bless others by your life, by your actions, by your decisions, and your choices. And if you have been cared for by God, He wants you to care for others. If you've been forgiven by God, He wants you to forgive others. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 10:8. Give as freely as you have received. And whatever you've been given by God, you are to offer that to others. This morning, I want us to think in particular about forgiveness, because we've received that more than anything else if we've been able to live before God. But how do we give forgiveness to other people? And before we do that, I want us to take a little test. There's five questions. I want you to answer whether in your own mind, I want you to answer whether they're you think they're false or true, or what it is that you believe about these statements. So as I ask those, I want you to think about them, and I want you to see whether you would answer them true or false. A person should not be forgiven unless he asks for it. True or false? Think about that in your own mind. How would you answer it? Forgiveness includes minimizing the offense and minimizing the pain that it's caused. True or false? Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. True or false? You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. True or false? When I see someone else hurt, it is my duty to forgive the offender. True or false? If you were to take the Word of God and If you were to particularly read through the Gospels and read what Jesus said about forgiveness, you would have to come to the conclusion that all five of these statements are false. And we're going to look today at what forgiveness really is. But before we look at that, we need to look at what forgiveness isn't. The Bible says that there are five things that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not conditional. In fact, the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says that real forgiveness, genuine forgiveness, is unconditional. It is not something you earn. It is not something you deserve. It is not something you get as part of a bargain if you promise to never do it again. Forgiveness is unconditional. But second, forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It's not saying, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. It didn't really hurt me that bad. I can get over it. The truth is, if it's worth forgiving, it did hurt you. And it is a big deal. It did cause pain. And you don't need to minimize it because that's not part of forgiveness. Forgiveness is saying, yes, it did hurt. Yes, it did cause pain in my life. But I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to hold what you did to hurt me against you. Forgiveness is not resuming a relationship without change. Forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. They're two different issues. Forgiveness is not the same thing as rebuilding or restoring a relationship. You see, forgiveness, when you offer that, it is instant. But trust has to be built over time. And there's a big difference between forgiving a person and trusting a person. It takes more than forgiveness for reconciliation. Actually, it takes three other things. It takes repentance, restitution, when that's possible, and it takes rebuilding trust. Because you see, rebuilding trust takes time. Now here's the fourth thing. Real forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. There's a very popular cliche in America, and that is to forgive and forget. And that's so sweet and nice. There's only one problem with that. You can't do it. The more painful something is, the less likely it is that you're going to forget it. Some of you think that Christian maturity is when I get to the point that I can forget the painful things in my life. When I forget the things I feel guilty over and the things that other people have done to me, that's when I'm growing with maturity as a Christian. The truth is, you may never forget them. But there's something better than forgetting. And what is that? Remembering. remembering and seeing how God brought you out of what's bad. When I remember what God has done in spite of that, then I can really praise God for what happened in my life. So forgiveness is not forgetting. And here's the fifth thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't my right when I wasn't the one that was hurt. Only the victim can pronounce forgiveness to the person who has offended them. If you weren't hurt, it's not your place to proclaim the forgiveness. We see that in our country. People ask us to forgive people as if we have a right to do that. Many people don't understand that forgiveness does not remove the consequences of sin. Real forgiveness is not some cheap term you just throw out and instantly everybody feels better. Forgiveness is reserved for the person of whom they were committed against. So those are things of what forgiveness is not. Now let's ask the question, what is real forgiveness? The Bible says real forgiveness is four things. First, remembering how much I've been forgiven. Forgiveness is remembering how much I've already been forgiven, how much grace I've received from Christ. As we read in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You're not forgiven because you earned it. You're not forgiven because you deserve it. You're not forgiven because you've promised never to sin again. You're forgiven because you've put your faith in Christ Jesus. You see, that's the starting point for genuine forgiveness. If you don't feel forgiven, well, then you don't want to forgive anybody else. You don't want them to feel it, that's for sure. If you're hard on yourself, you're going to be hard on others who do things toward you. But the more grace you receive from God, and the more you receive that, then the more gracious you're going to be to others, and the more gracious you're going to give that to others. The more forgiven you feel by God, the more forgiven you're going to tend to be toward others. So you see, that is the beginning of real forgiveness. It's understanding how much I've been forgiven. Do you remember the story about Jesus when the woman came into the setting where he was and he was talking to these religious leaders and this woman came in. She had this expensive a bowl of perfume. And she sat down on the floor and she opened this expensive perfume and she took it and began to bathe his feet with it. And as she sat there, her tears dripped from her eyes, and with the perfume and the water from her eyes, she was washing Jesus' feet. Now, the religious leaders saw this and they said, doesn't he know what kind of woman she is? Why would he let her touch him? And why? Look at her. She's wasting this perfume. It's so expensive. She could take it and sell it and take the money and feed so many poor people. Look what an awful person she is. And Jesus stopped them and he said, now, wait a minute. He said, I've come in here and you've not shown me any of that kind of graces. You've not washed my feet. You've not attended to me at all in that way. And you know why? Because you don't feel like you need forgiveness. This woman, she has come here and she is showing her genuine feeling of being forgiven. And so that's why she's doing what she is. Because she felt that God had been so good to her and had forgiven her and given her so much. She felt graced by Christ. And therefore she was being gracious back to him. Because when we remember how much we've been forgiven, it allows us to be more forgiving to others. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing about true forgiveness. Relinquishing my rights to get even. That's the heart of genuine forgiveness. Romans 12, 19 says, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for He has said that He will repay those who deserve it. Notice, He says, don't try to get even. Don't you take it into your own hand. Don't try to retaliate. Don't try to take revenge. Leave that up to God. You say, but that's unfair. You don't know what that person did to me. You don't know what I feel. And who said forgiveness is fair? There's a word for fairness. It's called justice. Justice is fair. Forgiveness is grace. You don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve forgiveness. But you do deserve justice, and so do I. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give you everything you deserve? None of us would be here if that were true. If we got what we deserve. We always want justice in everybody else's life, but we don't want it in our own life. God is gracious to us, and He wants to be gracious. He wants us to be gracious to others. So you give up your right to get even. God is the God of justice, and He's going to even the score about justice one day. Leave that to God. And here's the third thing about true forgiveness. Is you respond to evil with good. Luke 6 says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. How can you tell when you're really genuinely forgiven somebody? When you come to the point that you can actually look at them and pray, oh God, bless that person who hurt me. If you can pray for them and ask God's blessings upon them, then you have come to the point that you have forgiven them. Then you'll know forgiveness is complete in your heart when you can look at their hurt and not just your own hurt. Because you see, people who hurt people are people who have been hurt. Hurt people hurt people. We hurt other people because we're hurting ourselves. If somebody hurts you, it's most likely they are hurting on the inside. It's the reason they did it. And when you genuinely forgive a person, you can look past the ways that they've hurt you and you can see how they're hurting. When you can look at their hurt, you know you've genuinely forgiven them. When you can pray for God to bless them, when you can do good to those who hate you, when you can bless those who curse you, you're responding to evil with good. In 1 Corinthians 13, 5, it says, love keeps no record of wrong. And there's a fourth thing that's part of a genuine forgiveness. It's not just remembering how much I've been forgiven, and it's not just relinquishing my right to get even, and it's not just responding to evil with good, but it's also repeating the process as long as necessary. You do these things over and over. Forgiveness is not just a one-shot deal. How long do you have to keep forgiving a person? You do it as long as the feeling of revenge keeps coming back. Peter asked that question of Jesus. Peter went to Jesus and he said, Lord, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me? And then Peter tried to answer that. He said, Jesus, how about seven times, huh? How's that? That's pretty good, right? Because, you see, Peter's thinking was way over the top of what he thought. The Jewish law said that you had to forgive a person three times. And so here's Peter. He's not saying, I'm just going to forgive him three times. I'm going to double that. I'm going to forgive him seven times. I'm going to do it double and then add one for good measure. But when Jesus responds to him about his answer just seven times, Jesus said, well, that's not quite the way I see it. I want you to forgive him seven times 70 times. And what does that mean? Where you try to calculate? Jesus is saying, I'm not looking for a number. It's beyond numbers. It's that you do it over and over and over as many times as it's necessary. The point is, you do it for infinity, for as long as it takes, until you let it go. You have to keep forgiving that person until the pain stops and the desire to get revenge goes away. You know, you can say, Dear Jesus, I know this bitterness in me that I have toward this other person, that it's bad for me. And I know I need to forgive them. And so, Lord, that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to forgive them, Jesus. But then 5 minutes later, it wells up in you again. You want to hurt them again. You have to say it again. When the memory comes back, you have to say it again and again and again. You just keep doing it until the pain goes away. And if you really hurt, if you've been hurt, it's going to take more than one time for you to forgive that person, because the memory is going to keep coming back over and over. And you have to repeat the process as long as it's necessary. It's going to be continual because it is a process. What have I been saying this morning? Genuine forgiveness is never easy. Some of you may be filled with resentment this morning toward others. What do you do? How are you going to get on with your life? You might be saying, well, why in the world should I forgive that person who hurt me so much? Why in the world should I offer grace to that person? And you ought to do it for three reasons. And the first reason is, I need to be gracious to others. I need to forgive others who's hurt me, because God has been gracious to me. You will never have to forgive anyone else more than Jesus Christ has already forgiven you. There's not a chance that you could even get close. Maybe you need to consider that you haven't always gotten what you deserved either. And God has been good to you, and God has been gracious to you. And the Bible says, because we've been forgiven by Christ, we're compelled to forgive those who have hurt us. Here's the second reason that I need to do it. I need to be gracious to others. I need to forgive others who's hurt me, because the alternative of not doing so is bitterness. Science tells us that the most unhealthy emotion is the emotion of resentment. It always hurts you more than it hurts the other person. It's like feeding cancer in your heart. It's going to eat you up. You always hurt yourself more with bitterness, more than you do the other person. While you're stewing, and while you're fretting, and while you're resenting, and while you're thinking of retaliation and revenge, while you're rehearsing the pain over and over in your mind, they go these other people that you are resenting so much and feeling bitterness towards, they're going on their merry way, almost oblivious that anything's wrong. They've dropped it. You're not hurting anybody but yourself with your resentment. Resentment will not change the past, no matter how much you resent it. It will not make up somehow the justice of the injustice that was done. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. For if he does, meaning if you do, then you can easily spring up in you a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in yourself, but can also poison the lives of many others. The alternative to not forgiving is bitterness. And here's the last thing I want to share with you. The third reason you need to forgive. I need to be gracious to others, to forgive others who's hurt me, because God expects me to if I love Him. One way of loving God is to forgive others. In Matthew 6:15, Jesus said it this way, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know how to make it any clearer than the way Jesus said it right there. Jesus says we cannot receive what we're unwilling to give. The fact is, you're going to be hurt in life. That's going to happen. You're going to experience that. The only question is, what are you going to do with those hurts when they happen? If you hold on to that hurt and let it build in your life, you will end up being a twisted up, hateful person. And your heart is going to grow hard and you're going to grow bitter. So what do you do? That's why you need Jesus. You are going to be hurt in life and you don't have enough love to overpower the hurt. You don't have enough in yourself to overcome and to be able to forgive. You need Jesus Christ to help you with that. You need the Spirit of God to help you with that. You need the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with that. You need His love in your life to help you forgive. You need Him to fill you up with love every moment of the day. This week, I discovered four words that probably define grace better than any other phrase. God is for us. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, give as freely as you have received. Would you pray with me? Brothers and sisters, I want you to pray with me this prayer of forgiveness. Dear Jesus, you know when I've been hurt by others. You know that my resentment sometimes has made me act in ways that have been unreasonable and unhelpful and unhealthy. I need your power to release and forgive those who've hurt me, so I can stop letting them control me. Would you please replace my hurt with the peace of Jesus Christ? Oh God, I realize that I've hurt a lot of other people with my habits and my bad decisions and my hang-ups. Would you please forgive me for the way I've hurt others and help me to make amends to them when and where I can? Jesus, I want to refocus my life on you. I want you to fill me with your Spirit. I want to face the future courageously with love and peace in my heart. Would you replace my resentment with your love, and replace my love with your peace, and my bitterness with your grace? Thank you for your graciousness to me. Thank you for forgiving me for the things that I've done wrong. And now I put my trust in you, and help me to forgive others. For it's in your name that I pray. Amen.